When I say walk in victory, I really mean to live a successful, overcoming, victorious life. And Michael Church mentioned that the other day, that these sermons are like success seminars. And it's just straight from the Bible. Because God wants to bless you, and He wants you to believe that He wants to bless you. And He wants you to believe that He is blessing you. So today we're continuing to look at our God is good. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our defender. People don't like you, they better look out. God's watching out for you, but you need to believe that. And you cannot believe it without faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All I say, just listen to the Word of God. You can ignore many of my comments if you like, but don't ignore the Word I read. The Word says the Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. In his illness, you'll restore him to health. God blesses His servants. A lot of people don't believe that, but I can testify. I've been in serving God my whole life, just about my whole life, and God has always protected me, provided for me, defended me. Psalm 41, verse 1, here it is, says, "Now blessed is he who considers the helpless." A lot of times Christians are not being blessed because they're selfish and self-centered and greedy. When someone asks for money, they get their feathers all ruffled. I mean, you know, they don't want to give a dime. But here's what it says. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. What a promise. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. How many like that? You want the Lord to keep you alive. That's a good one. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth, and he... And do not give him over to the desires of his enemies, and he will not give him over to the desires of his enemies. Sometimes we have enemies and don't even know it. And God's protecting us from enemies we don't know is there. But we know we have one, and his name is Lucifer, Satan himself. He's working nonstop. He has a wile and a strategy and a plan to wreck and destroy you. Verse 3, the Lord will sustain him upon his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to health. Can you believe that? Those who serve God enough to bless other people, obey God in being a blessing to others, it says that the Lord, look at this promise, the Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble, and the Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to health. Amen. I've been attacked many times over the years with all kind of sickness and disease, including COVID, and God has delivered me and healed me every time, so I get right back doing what He's called me to do. Amen. God will bless those who are doing His work, and part of that work is caring for other people. You say, well, about all these Christians are not being blessed. A lot of it's because they're not being a blessing. The way Christianity works, if you want to be blessed, you need to be a blessing. And if you want people to treat you right, you need to treat them right. If you want people to help you, you need to help them. I've had people say, well, you're supposed to carry my burdens. Well, the Bible says you're to carry one another's burdens. I'm not just to carry your burdens. You're to help me carry mine. Amen. Amen. And when we really become godly good Samaritans, then God can bless us more. So, well, what about all these Christians under attack? I just got through telling you have an enemy. His name is Satan. He is attacking you, and Jesus said, I give you authority over them. A lot of preachers not preaching that, and so Christians sit back and let the devil beat the daylights out of them because they don't know they have authority over them. But people in his church know we have authority over that rascal. Amen. And you can shut him down. Amen. But he's not going to retire. He's not going to go away. Well, how long am I going to have to go through this until you wind up in heaven? Amen. So just learn to enjoy the fight. Just be sure in the name of Jesus Christ you take authority and win. Yeah. Every time. That don't mean you're not going to get hit. It means you have authority to get rid of him and get restored. Psalm 37, verse 18, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. The days of the blameless. Those people who are obeying God. And basically, if you're obeying God, you're in good shape. And their inheritance will be forever. I'm just reading, really just reading promises today. And verse 19, the Lord knows, verse 18, the Lord knows the ways of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. Verse 19, here's a great promise. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. You see, people are very concerned about the economy in the United States of America and around the world. But for God's people, it says they will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they will have abundance. God's economy is not the same as the world's. And Jesus said, if you being evil, human or carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more we, Heavenly Father, give good things to you. So we need to believe if we'll ask, we'll receive. And we need to know also that Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, drink, or wear. For your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. Any believers in here? Well, what do I believe, preacher? You believe the words of Jesus Christ, and I'm just quoting them, and the word from all of His word. And we know Jesus Christ is God, has always been God. He's also fully human, fully God now. But He's always been God. And so this book was inspired by Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All of it, Genesis to Revelation. So all of it's the word of Jesus Christ. Finally got an amen without having to ask for it. Wow. Verse 20, but the wicked will perish. It looks like they're not perishing right now, but their day's coming. And we're not to be glad about that. We're to pray that they'll get saved. Can you say amen? But the wicked will perish. You see, it is according to our faith. Only believe. You see, I prophesied April 19, 2020. I didn't even know I prophesied it. I just preached it and wrote it in my sermon notes. And here's what I said. This was just as COVID was beginning. We will not be ashamed during the pandemic. But we'll have abundance. And that word came from that scripture. Okay. And guess what? This church and the people have been blessed more during COVID and afterwards than probably any time in its history. It's unbelievable how God has blessed us. Last year, we raised $96,000. In the distant past, we weren't doing stuff like that. And so God has just blessed us more and more. We will not be ashamed during the pandemic, but we'll have abundance. And about everybody in this church had COVID. God healed all of us but one. He's about 83 years old. He'd already told me he's having serious health problems, and God just decided to take him to heaven. I don't believe COVID killed him. I believe God took him. And a 1 out of 100 is not bad. I refuse to speak negatively, no matter how bad the things are, because my God is good. Somehow He's going to rescue me and us. Thank you, Jesus. And why speak negative stuff anyway? What good does it do? Amen. And people, I'm so sick, and they're just trying to get sympathy. And nobody, most people don't care. So all we're doing is killing our faith with our effort to get sympathy. Right. Speak the word of God. You feel sick, look sick, act sick. Sick, say, with His stripes I'm healed. And pray that and repeat that and act on that. With His stripes I'm healed. With His, well, I'm not going to lie. Nobody told you to lie. Just read the word of God. Right. Speak the word of God. That's what I do. I'm telling you, it works. Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. If you don't speak it, though, when you speak it and act on it, you release the power in it somehow. I don't understand everything spiritual, but I do know it works for me. Here's another good one, Proverbs 11:25, that most Christians do not believe. A generous man will prosper. As I said earlier, why are Christians prospering? Because a lot of them are greedy. They won't give you a dime for anything. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others, who helps others, will himself be refreshed or helped. It does not say except during the pandemic. The Lord didn't tell me raise $40,000 except in a pandemic. We got shut down the year of COVID 2020 because we couldn't have church. We couldn't do a fundraiser. We were doing everything by live stream. So we determine if we are blessed or not by obeying God. Are you willing to do what the Bible says to do? If God speaks to you and tells you to give someone, give money to help someone or tells you to give money for some project here in the church, well, you do it. Now, I'm not talking about some preacher or somebody twisting your arm. I'm talking about God putting in your heart to do it. And the Bible says plainly the tithes and offerings goes to God's house, which today is his church. But the offering, you need to decide that between you and God. I've never and will never even try to tell someone what to give above their tithes and offerings. That's between you and God. A generous person, however, who blesses others will prosper and be blessed. Psalm 112. So we're really talking about righteous people who are generous. Look at this. Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man or woman. You understand when the Bible says man, it means male or female. Blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. So in other words, God blesses those who believe God and obey his commands, even the personal ones, like give money to something, or like help somebody, bless somebody. Verse 2, his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Here's another great promise. Wealth and riches are in his house. When I first read that, I tore the house apart, looking for that wealth and riches. Yay! It doesn't necessarily mean they're there now, but you'll be blessed if you serve God. And wealth and riches means different things to different people. I've never wanted to have a lot of money, but I have wanted to have enough money to take care of my kids. Can you say amen? Enough money to give to needy people, enough money to help the church with its projects. So I consider myself wealth and rich if I'm rich, wealth and rich if I just have what I need to take care of myself and other people. Amen. Money doesn't make you happy. Poverty doesn't either. So there's got to be a balance in there somewhere. And his righteousness endures forever. You see, God will come to him, verse 5, God will come to him who is generous and lends freely. So it's important to love people enough to bless people. The Bible even says if you have a brother that needs food, clothing, or whatever, and you do not help them, how can you say you have the love of God when you won't help them? Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. I'm just reading the promises, but have you noticed they come with conditions? That's why a lot of people have not been blessed. They are ignoring the conditions. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Verse 7. This is another great promise. He will have no fear of bad news. I just will not fear bad news because I know God can take it and turn it to good real quick. Amen. Amen. Do not fear bad news. Pray it through and get the victory of God, and God will help you. Amen. Don't let bad news overwhelm you. It says he will have no need to fear bad news because God, knows in his heart God's going to take care of him. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. When your heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord, bad news just doesn't have a bad effect on you anymore because you know you have a God that can turn it around and take the bad report from the doctor and turn it into a good one. Oh, we saw cancer, but now it's gone. We've had that happen many times right here in this church. You see, verse 8, his heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. Don't mess with God's people because God will fight for his people. In the end, he will win is what it means. In the end, if he stays faithful and serves God, obeys God, and whatever God tells him to do, in the end, he'll win. You see, God Almighty fights for his people. And a lot of times he's fighting for us and we don't even know it. He works behind the scenes, but our faith says he is there, he is working on our behalf, and he will continue to do so until it's our time to go to heaven. Well, a preacher, if all this stuff is true, nobody ever died. No, I'm not preaching immortality. I'm telling you, you can be blessed until it's your time to go to the biggest blessing of all. Heaven. Heaven. Psalm 128, verse 1. Are these some pretty good scriptures? Are they in your Bible? I believe so. And you know, I didn't write the Bible. If I'd written it, I would have changed some things. I didn't get to write it. Psalm 128, verse 1. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Do you fear God enough to obey him? Now, I'm not talking about a fear that you live in terror that's going to hit you with a hammer or a bolt of lightning, but you have a reverent fear of God that you know if you want to be blessed, you need to do what he says to do. And the reason he asks you to do things is for your good always. Even in Deuteronomy, it says all of God's law is given for our good always. Not a single rule in God's word is there to make you miserable. It's to keep you out of trouble and enable you to be blessed. Psalm 128, verse 1, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord enough to obey him, who walks in his ways. There it is, who walks in his ways, does what he says, do. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. In other words, God will bless you with children if you want them. If you want children, you need to believe God for children. This church has been blessed with that kind of anointing. We've had a lot of people come here that wanted children that couldn't have them. This church prays over them and they have children. We've got one or two babies right here, right now. They probably would never have been born without praying the prayers of you people. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. You see, this is God's will to bless you, to bless your family. We can be blessed if we meet the conditions. He delivers us from trouble, calms the storm, and guides us to a safe place. Great promises. Look at this. Psalm 107, verse... Y'all having fun yet? I hope you're writing some of these down. Okay. Psalm 107, verse 28. I'd be glad to have a preacher and I was preaching you to hell every Sunday. Okay. Some preachers get up and tell everybody how bad they are every Sunday and they leave totally depressed. Not here. We already know how bad we are. We just need to know how good he is. Okay. And put our faith in him and trust him to help us. And Psalm 107, and by the way, if we're covered in the blood, we're the righteous of God. We're not dirty old sinners. We're righteous. We may not always act righteous, but because of the blood, we are. He sees us as righteous. Psalm 107, verse 28, then they cried out. In other words, they prayed to the Lord. When it says cried out, that means they prayed. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He brought them out of their distress. Listen, if you're in trouble, you can pray until you get peace, and you can pray until you hear from God, and you know God's already got it fixed. Amen. I do that all the time. I pray, down here, I got it. It's fixed. It's okay. You're healed. They're healed. You can pray until you hear the voice of God. Verse 29, be still. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. What a promise. Let me abbreviate it. When I'm preparing to defeat the devil and get me a sword, I don't always quote the whole thing. I get the heart of it and the true meaning of it and speak that. Here it is. He stills the storm, and he guides them to their desired haven. He stills my storm and guides me to the place where I need to be. And boy, that's been going on my whole life. You know, God calms the storm all around me and gives me peace. The storm may be going full blast, but I'm going in peace. Can you say amen? And I know God's guiding me through those circumstances, around those mountains and over the hills and through the deep valleys. He's guided me and directed me all the way. They cried out in their troubles. He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm, and he guided them to their safe place. You see, he delivers us from trouble, calms the storm, and guides us to safe place. Preacher, are you preaching what you know to be true? I'm preaching what I know to be true in my own life. Amen. I come from the wrong side of the tracks. I had an uncle in prison. My daddy was tried for attempted murder. I had the same devil, but Jesus saved me at 11 years old. Yay. And saved me in all kind of ways. Can you say amen? I was stealing stuff and had no reason to steal. I believe I'd be sitting in jail or prison somewhere right now if a little group, if a lady from a vacation Bible school at a Baptist church had come up on the hill, invited me to vacation Bible school because somebody brought me to Jesus, helped me find Jesus. Now I'm up here yelling at you. How many think that's better than having to pay for me to sit in jail? I'm telling you, this works. It's the Word of God. Proverbs, this is not some pastor's opinion. You say, why do you use all these scriptures? So you'll know it's not my opinion. I want you to leave saying, man, I didn't have any idea there's that many scriptures about that in the Bible. Wow. See, any preacher can take any scripture and twist it to mean about anything they want. But in Psalm 119, somewhere in around verse 68, so it says the sum of God's word is truth. You need to hear all the scriptures applied to one subject, and then you can see the truth. And I made up my mind a long time ago, I ain't twisting nothing. I'm not twisting anything. I know good English, I just don't like it. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Whew. Wow. Amen. You like that one? Well, I keep going. I'll find one you like here in a minute. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, see, it's more than just being a giver. It's living a godly life as God helps you. There's no perfect people. You can't let the devil condemn you every time you make a mistake or have a sin. You repent, make it right with God, pick up the pieces, and go. There's no perfect people. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The key to success is living a life pleasing to the Lord. Doesn't matter if everybody else is happy or not. Is your life pleasing to the head guy? The creator of the universe. And Psalm, that's between you and him, by the way. But if you are born again, your life will have to line up with the Word of God. Okay? Because when you're born again, he reprograms your heart with his word. And by your new nature, you'll want to do it. Psalm 37, verse 32. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him, the righteous, in the hand of the wicked, is what it means, or let him be condemned when he is judged. The Lord will deliver us from the hand of the wicked, and he will not allow us to be condemned if we truly serve him and obey him. Psalm 147, verse 3. And not only serve and obey him, you need to believe the Bible. You need to believe these promises and pray until God starts making them happen in your life. None of these things are automatic. You got to meet the conditions. And one condition, big condition, is be a doer of the word when you give and when you go to church and when you pray and when you meditate upon God's word day and night, when you speak to your mountains and when you take authority over the devil. That's all being a doer of the word. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Psalm 147, verse 3. Boy, look at this. Wow. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the broken. You've been broken and crushed by things other people have done. You've been broken and crushed by things you've done. It says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's for you. Can you believe it? Well, I'm just a mess. God can fix a mess. You might say, well, you're still a mess. Well, I was a bigger mess. And God has fixed me pretty good, but got a little ways to go. You see, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. In other words, he heals the crushing and the bruising that life has brought on you, or the devil's brought on you, or are you brought on yourself. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Blessed are you, and that's the people of God. Blessed are the people of God. And he says, actually says, blessed are you, O Israel. And that's God's people, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. See, we're special. We're saved by God. We're his body in this evil, demonized world. We're the light of the world, whether we like it or not. They may not like us, but Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hated me first. But we still need to let our light shine, because there's a lot of people out there like us that want to be saved. They just need to see our light and know it's possible to know God. You see, he is our shield and buckler and our glorious sword. And here's another great promise. Your enemies will cower before you. Boy, I've had people get so mad at me and come against me, and something just happens. It's like God has a barrier between me and them, and they just kind of cower and back off. I noticed that in high school. Ninth grade, I was in a fist fight with everybody. I wasn't brave. I was But I knew if I didn't fight him, I could really get beat up. So I just dropped my head, started swinging like a madman. And in 10th grade, I had dedicated my life to the Lord. And the devil told me, so now when you get to school, those bullies are going to beat you up. And so I got to school, and some of these bullies, sure enough, they come up and threaten me. And all of a sudden, it was like they just kind of got these glaring eyes, and they just kind of began to back off and went away. I began to realize I got a protective shield around me. Ha! And it's still there. Don't mess with me. They that strive with thee should perish. And I don't say that to make you afraid of me. I say that to let you know you have the same power and authority. You have the same shield. It says he'll surround you with favor as with a shield. God will not only protect you, he'll favor you. Amen. Amen. Get that in your head. It doesn't matter what your race is either. I don't care. The devil cannot put his foot on anybody and hold them down. And don't let people convince you you're some kind of victim that you can't make it in life. With God's help, anybody can make it. If a natural born criminal can get saved and born again and build a church in Knoxville, God can bless anybody. Don't get too excited about that. We got a criminal in the pulpit. All those born. Thank you, Roberta. She's good. All those born again are the people of God. Get that in your head. If you're born again, you are a people of God. Every blessing in the Bible from beginning to end is for you. All the people in the Bible were people of God. Some were under the old covenant, now the new covenant, but all of us are people of God. All the promises go to all of us. And I'm going slow and I'm not getting very far, but it's always next Sunday. Can you say amen? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, your enemies will cower before you. Psalm 37, verse 27, depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. So you can't just continue to live like the devil and hate people. The number one thing that should go when you're born again is all hate, all bitterness, all that stuff needs to go. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And all that needs to be replaced by the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but all of a sudden you start loving people you used to hate. Amen. Doesn't say you have to like everybody, you have to love everybody. Can you say amen? Some people just have a personality that some people just don't like. And my personality is tease and joke and clown around. Some people don't like that. They love lemon juice. Can you say amen? Or vinegar. But that's okay. We don't have to like each other's personality. We have to love people. What's that mean? Agape love means self-giving, good Samaritan. And Psalm 37, verse 27, depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. Verse 8, here's another promise. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. For the Lord does not forsake his godly ones. The Lord does not forsake his godly ones. He loves justice, and he'll see that they get justice. And Jesus said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Well, everybody's mistreating me. I never get justice. I can't get justice. Well, that's because you're not going to the high priest. You need to take your case to him, because he said himself, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I have a tendency to believe him. You see, they are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. They may look like they're doing good right now, but in the end, they're going to be cut off. He will not forsake his people. The Lord that causes us, the people that cause us to fear are the very people the Lord laughs at. The people that's out to get you, God's literally laughing at them. Listen to this. Psalm 37, verse 9. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Boy, that's another great promise. Do you get all these promises? This is not something I made up. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Verse 10, a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Verse 11, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Verse 12, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at him. Here it is. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their days are coming. Verse 14, another promise. The wicked draws the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their sword will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Look at that again. But the Lord laughs at the wicked. He knows their days are coming. The wicked draw the sword. Here's the way I have it memorized. The wicked draw the sword, but their swords will pierce their own hearts. In other words, he'll turn their weapons on them. And the word even says, when a person digs a hole for someone else, they'll fall in it. Yay. I'd be glad to know what the Bible says. What time? Oh, we're out of time. Who cares? In Elijah's day, almost all Israel had turned away from God, like most Americans have today. 1 Kings 17, verse 4. God hid Elijah by the brook Cherith because Jezebel was out to kill him. You know, we got a granddaughter, and they've been trying to come up with a name. I don't get to have a say in that. And I said, well, wonder why nobody names their daughter Jezebel anymore. Okay, it's because Jezebel ruined that name forever. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, talking to Elijah, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So God took care of Elijah this way until the brook dried up. You see, God provides for those who serve him. So what happened when the brook dried up? God still took care of him. Jerry Webb became a friend of mine in Louisville. He had been a chaplain in the military. He was still a chaplain in the military. And he had been in Vietnam, and everybody wanted to ride in his Jeep because bombs would go off all around him and wouldn't blow him up. And so they saw God protecting him. But he told me this story. He said when God first called into the ministry, he had a fear that he couldn't make it, that he wouldn't be provided for. And so he's up in this little treehouse, and this bird flew in and brought a piece of bread in his beak and dropped it, and he ate it. And it was good. And then he found a leaf that was full of water, and he drank it. And God spoke to him. He said, see, I can and I will take care of you. This Elijah story is not a one-time thing. The manna coming down out of heaven and feeding God's people, bringing whatever rock, is not a one-time thing. If you serve God, God will take care of you, even if he has to do those miracles. He said that after the brook dried up, he had another plan. He said to Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Verse 10, so he rose and went. And when he arrived, he found that this woman was in total poverty. God has sent him there not to save himself, but to save her. Amen. Amen. You think God is sending you someplace to save you? He may be sending you there to save them. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, and this girl wasn't even a Jew. The way I understand it. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of meal in a bin and a little oil in a jar. You see, she said, I am cooking our last meal, our last piece of bread, and we're going to die. See, Elijah said, give me the first piece. Don't that sound just like a preacher? Give me your last dollar. Oh, Lord, some preacher might be that way. For thus he gives a prophecy, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin, here's a great promise, the bin of flour will not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. The bin, our bin of flour, shall not be used up, nor our jar of oil run out until the Lord provides another way. Amen. He's going to keep it going. Can you say amen? Amen. Because they obeyed the Lord, He provided for them through the drought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will bring you through the drought or through the pandemic. Can you say amen? He will provide everything we need to live life and live godly. Please.